You may open your Bibles to John chapter 10. I'd like to begin there this evening and look at just a few verses. John chapter 10 is the passage on when Jesus said that he is the good shepherd, and you probably already have thought about the verses here that refer to the voice of the shepherd. John chapter 10 and verses 1 through 5. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. The latter part of verse 10. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. And verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I really believe tonight that if we would just simply take those verses and apply them to each and every area of our life, we could go home. Because these verses, here in these verses, Jesus makes it very clear that if we know him as the good shepherd, we're going to know his voice. And he knows us. And we're also going to be able to differentiate between the voice of the shepherd and the voice of the thief and the voice of the hireling. And I believe that this evening the message, So Many Voices, depicts an issue, depicts a problem that we have today because there are a lot of voices and it's hard for us to sort it all out. And we don't always know where to draw the line. And Jesus knew where that line was. And he says, if we know him, we will know his voice. And he knows us, and we know him. And so we can ask the question this evening, who is your shepherd? Do you know the voice of the shepherd? A stranger, a hireling, or a false teacher is one that we will not follow because their voice will sound strange. Their words and their doctrine will sound strange, and we'll be able to identify it. And in verse 10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And so this evening, Jesus, the good shepherd, provides abundant life. And this evening, when we are enjoying abundant life in Christ, the world has very, 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 very little to offer. There's not much attraction. And we'll be able to decipher the voices. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. It speaks of purpose, fulfillment, security, rest, and belonging. And in verse 27, we will follow the good shepherd. So many voices. And I imagine in this audience this evening, there are some of you that may look at this title and say, what in the world are they talking about? I don't have a clue. I don't get a daily paper. I live on a farm. I still have a flip phone, and last week I subscribed for text messaging, and I don't have email, and maybe there's someone here like that tonight, and that's all right. It's perfectly fine. So many voices. What are we talking about? And so in this audience, we no doubt have a range of how we allow ourselves to be exposed to outside influence and outside voices, and how much interest we have in that. But all of us this evening are are influenced. We live in the world. We're not of the world, but we're in the world. And we all are exposed to some outside voices in our life. And so these voices, what is it? It's outside influence that speaks into our life or into our homes. A voice that has an influence on us. And these voices can come in an audible voice sound or a printed version on paper or screen. There's newspaper, magazines, phone calls, podcasts, blogs, sermons, articles, email, Zoom presentations and conferences, WhatsApp, Telegram, Facebook, book, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And just in the last day, when I was told a little more about the changes that are happening to WhatsApp, I discovered that there are other mediums that some of our people are, I knew that already, but there were some other new ones that were brought to my attention that I didn't even know about. I'm not out searching for those. And so the list goes on and on of the available mediums by which we receive information. And then the internet, as you think about the internet, it offers potential of a huge influx of random information into our lives and minds. And I'm not going to spend much time on that, but many of us probably use the internet by times to search for specific information, but there are people, maybe among us, that just surf the internet and just load their minds with tremendous amounts of information to the point that they have information overload and brain fog because it's just more than their mind is able to process. All these voices. This title, So Many Voices, has an exclamation point after it, and I believe that those who planned this placed that exclamation point there in purpose, and it probably suggests surprise or vast multiplicity and maybe even an overwhelmed feeling as one considers the vast array of material available on a daily or hourly basis. And that information can be that which we read. It can be virtual information that comes to us. We live in an age when information is at our fingertips. I'd like you to think about your day today. And just think about from the time you awoke this morning to the time you came to church, how much outside influence did you have in your world or on your life? How much outside influence? Outside the home influence. Mothers and fathers. Maybe on your way to work this morning, you listened to a sermon that Brother Loyal preached the other Sunday when you weren't able to be here. There's a tremendous amount of influence, good influence, that we can bring into our lives. But just think about how much outside influence came into your home and into your life. Youth can communicate with friends, and the list goes on and on. But just think about that. The burden and concern of this message, first of all, is that we need to know the voice of the shepherd. And the influence on our hearts and lives must be that which enhances our acceptance and understanding of the shepherd's voice. And I'd like you to think about that as you consider the amount of influence and communication and all that entered your world today. That all has an influence on our hearts and on our minds. And it needs to be that which enhances our acceptance and understanding of the shepherd's voice. Voices that speak into our lives that cloud the shepherd's voice and distort the shepherd's voice and bring unrest to our hearts. Information that we receive that helps us to be more greedy and dissatisfied with our life is that which is leading us away from accepting our shepherd. The message description that was given to me from the committee, I was not at the meeting when this was planned, but I was given this, said that in the world accessible through technology, there are many voices. Will we sit at the feet of atheists because we appreciate their political viewpoints? What about the world of entertainment, of news reports, blogs, YouTube channels, popular influencers who want to direct our thinking? What wells will we drink from? And we can ask the question, whose pasture will we feed in? And will we listen to the voice of just any shepherd? Or will we sort through the voices? I'm also concerned tonight that I don't portray this subject as portray yesterday and the years gone by as being the ideal. And that somehow today life is just a lot more challenging and life is rough and tough and you're hardly able to survive spiritually today. But yesterday, and when our grandpas lived and in their day, it was much, much easier. Spiritual dangers and challenges loomed then as well as now. And I believe that every generation faced the challenge of the world and all that is therein, in one way or another. And they needed to face those challenges and sort through the opportunities that came to them. 1 John 2 and verse 15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And so today we are exposed to a lot of outside voices in our lives that come into our lives, more so than probably in bygone years. The opportunities certainly are greater today. I'd like you to think about these three different portraits that I have. I just want us to think about the change that has happened in technology over the last few years. And I'm saying few from a 52-year-old's perspective, okay? Some of you are going to smile at that and going to say, wow, 25 years is not just a few years ago. But consider 100 years ago. Consider a family about 100 years ago, around 1920. The number of daily hours spent in financial and family sustenance was much greater than it is today. Their lives from sun up to sundown was committed. Mothers and fathers and the children was committed to daily survival and providing the needs, their daily needs. A mother's connection with the outside world was very, very limited. Even a husband, let's say he had a farm or maybe he had a shop, and his outside connections were limited to the folks that came to his place, came to his farm or came to his blacksmith shop or came to his general store. And that's where he would find out the news and what was happening in the world around him. Maybe he got the newspaper and he caught up in the news there. Cars were something new at that time, and most of our ancestors in 1920, many of them probably were traveling with horse and carriage at that point, but that was at the time when the cars were becoming more common. And the family as a whole, think about this, the family as a whole, as the children were growing up, even the younger teenagers, middle teenagers, until they worked away, basically everything they learned and knew came through Dad. Think about that. A family 50 years ago, machinery and appliances reduced the number of hours spent to provide the family's daily needs. Telephones were reliable. 50 years ago, most homes had their private lines instead of the shared party line that they would share with neighbors. And the world was becoming a smaller place. Missionaries could travel by air rather than by ship. But even 50 years ago, communication in foreign mission fields was extremely limited. And most remote areas did not even have any phone access whatsoever. Now we come to 25 years ago. I was married for about 5 years, and life as a whole was a lot the same as it is today, I think. If you think about it, there's life was much the same. Travel was much the same. But communication technology was vastly different 25 years ago. Vastly different. Think about this. I had no cell phone. I owned the business that I have today, but I had no cell phone. I had no email, no texting, and we had a fax machine, and we thought that was great. You could actually fax proposals to people if they had a fax machine. Cameras, most cameras had no video capability, and I believe that 25 years ago, we took our films from our cameras. We had to take them somewhere to get them developed. And when Walmart came with one-hour photo process film developing, we thought that was great. That's 25 years ago. Today, and I have an old cell phone, it's an S8. But the availability of information on this thing has just totally changed my world and how I communicate. And the amount of possibilities that I need to decipher through and decide whether they enhance the shepherd's voice in my life or they hinder it. And I really think this evening that if we seriously take those verses from John 10 and many other verses and hold those tests against the opportunities and the things that are available for us, it will really help guide us in all these voices. And I like to say this, that I don't consider myself to be very active in at all in knowing what's out there and available in blogs and podcasts, and I don't spend an awful lot of time with those. Neither do I read a lot of books. I've always been that way, and so I'm just telling you that that's who I am. And I'm probably going to miss some things in this sermon that you might think about that should be said. But there's a lot available, and I know that some of you are much more active and know what's available in those available information sources and sources of inspiration. And I'm certainly not putting that all in a category that's against the shepherd's voice. But it certainly needs to be deciphered through, and the principles need to be applied. There are two principles that I'd like to just emphasize. And first of all is that there are only two kingdoms in the world. There are only two kingdoms. And I want you to think about that because I believe that it's important. Because one of the things that happens is that in life and in our day to day, the difference between the two kingdoms gets very, very blurry at times, or we make it blurry. And especially as we sort out the voices that are out there, religious voices, financial help, whatever the list is, whether it relates to health, whether it relates to various areas of our life, child training. The amount of information that we can receive that I can get right through here on all those subjects is astounding. And all that information either is supporting either the kingdom of this world or the kingdom of God. And in the last days especially are going to be characterized by those who claim to be a part of God's kingdom. And Jesus says, I never knew you. I never knew you. And so there are only two kingdoms. And the second point I'd like to make is that all information and communication supports one of the two kingdoms. And there's a lot of, I'm including everything in that. And if we had a board, you know, in the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God, there is a realm of truth, of natural truth, of physical truth, that is all part of truth. And then there's the realm of spiritual truth. And we need to decipher through that. And so it's not everything that's a part of the kingdom of this world is evil. We live in the world. We work in the world. And we operate within the realm of this world. And yet, as it relates to our spiritual lives, we must be feeding on that which supports the godly kingdom and provides spiritual nourishment for our souls. There are only two kingdoms. I like to look at a number of guidelines as we sort through the voices. And I believe that there are many others that could be shared. But everything that we, however we relate to the world around us, and the information that comes and the knowledge we have of the things of this world, and however we relate to that and whatever we allow in our lives must be guided by the principles of Scripture. And so you take these points and apply them to your life. Number one is that we must know the voice of the Good Shepherd. And I already referred to that. Jesus provides eternal life. And as we navigate through the maze and multiplicity of voices, we must find our delight in Christ. We must find our delight in Jesus and in His Word. Psalm 119 and verses 9 through 11. Says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. This evening, you know, it doesn't really matter where we're at with communication technology. I don't even care tonight if you don't even have a cell phone. I don't care if you don't even get a newspaper. The bottom line is that to get to heaven, we need to be free from sin. We need to be free from sin. And so the Word of God is that which helps us to sort out the things in this world that will keep us from Christ. Our delight needs to be in Him. When God's Word is our delight, then I believe that cheap sayings and senseless jokes and all of those kinds of things will not be our diet. I try not to be critical of things that people post on status. But sometimes I see senseless things there. Things that aren't just would be better left unsaid. When the Word of God is our delight, then those things don't have our attraction. It will not be our diet. As men of God, let's read the Word. Let's study the Word. Sometimes I believe that, especially mothers that are busy with children and have the demands of little ones that need cared for, finding inspiration, maybe you can find it in a devotional booklet. I believe there's a place for that. I really do. But brethren, I believe that we need to throw devotional books away, by and large. God wants you to take His Word, and He wants you to find inspiration there. He wants to give you inspiration. His Holy Spirit wants to inspire you. Rather than simply reading some pre-made devotional that was someone else's inspiration. Now, there may be a place for it. And I'll just say this. there's a brother that from another state that I have his number in my phone. He's an old bishop brother. And every morning he posts a Bible verse and a fairly long inspiration about those verses. And then he usually has one or two other inspirational thoughts that are not necessarily related to the his Bible reading. And they're deep thoughts. And I like to read those. And I screenshot some of them and save them. And I have quite a catalog of them as of today. They're deep thoughts. They're meaningful thoughts. And I've often thought about calling him and asking him if he came up with those. Because it's really good. And he very likely it's something that he wrote down from his own inspiration. But you know, finally, I need to go beyond that. I can't depend on his inspiration for my own. God wants us to read the Word, to study it, and for the Holy Spirit to give us the inspiration we need for the day, for our day. And so I'd just like to encourage you in that. With the Word and the Holy Spirit's enlightenment, your personal inspiration and knowledge will take you deeper than simply reading a pre-made devotional. And in this society in which we live, in the day in which we live, where we have the expression of me, and people want to promote themselves, and it seems like a part of that is this whole idea that if I get an inspiration in the morning, even from the Word of God, somehow I think everybody else should have that. And not necessarily. It's what you needed that day, but God wants to give inspiration to your brother in his own way. And so let's dig into the Word. Secondly, we must reckon with the reality of influence. We are all influenced. I am influenced in ways that I don't even realize. We're influenced by people and things and the world around us, the community in which we live. We're influenced by our church brothers and sisters. And it's difficult for us, it's probably impossible for us to calculate the amount of influence that affects us, especially as men. We kind of think that we're pretty much, we think through things ourselves. We can think on our own two feet. We can think through issues, and we kind of sort of have this idea that we're pretty much, we can chart the course and we're not affected too much by influence. But I believe that we are all affected and influenced a lot more than what we realize. And we must reckon with that. Our decisions and choices are determined by the content and the desires of our hearts. And our hearts and the values that we have and that we establish in our lives are affected by those things that we allow to influence us. Luke 6 and verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, for of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And so our words, our teaching, our doctrine, that which we promote comes from our heart, and our heart is influenced by that which we allow to come into our lives and into our minds. People we admire become an influencer of our values. If you admire a singer, it's more than just his song that will influence your mind. It's also his life, his lifestyle, and that which you know about him. When we admire someone, we open up our minds to allow the influence of their life and their lifestyle to influence us. And that can be certainly for the good. The same is true of sports stars. If you are admirer of them, his life and his values will influence you. I believe that there are no doubt some of you maybe that have had the idea that you can watch some sports and the game is all that you're interested in. Games are captivating. And I'll just give you this because a number of years ago when I was sitting at a surgeon's office while our son Gerdell was having some surgery, it was the Winter Olympics were happening, and it was the finals of the girls' hockey team. And it was there, it was a small room, and right in front of me was a huge screen. And of course, I was captivated by that. They went into overtime, it was the U.S. team and the Canadian team, and it was captivating. And the U.S. team was ahead when they went into overtime, and they ended up losing. And I watched that whole thing. The game is fascinating. But if I would continue that and would allow that interest to continue in my life and continue watching those things and get involved in the lives of those that win and the stars, those people's lifestyle would have an influence on me beyond that of just the game and the score. And so those that we admire have an influence on us beyond that of which we are actually think that we're interested in. As we live among worldly-minded people, we will absorb a certain amount of worldly influence in our lives, and we need to recognize that and be real with that. I believe that age and maturity affect the amount of influence, but no amount of maturity is safe to handle unnecessary worldly influence. And I believe that with our phones and with internet access and that whole realm of where we draw the lines, so often in our ministers' meetings and in our discussions, we say, well, our youth, we're not sure that the youth can handle it. Dads, we can't handle it. Okay? And somehow we think that if we get to a certain age, we can just pretty much handle a fair amount of evil influence. And we can't. And we need to reckon with that. Thirdly, our greatest influence must come or should come from our church and from a faithful family. One of the principles of Scripture is that the older are to teach the younger. The older are to be an example. Younger are to look up with respect and admiration to the older. And that's true in family life, it's true in community life, and it's true in church life. We're living in an age today when the older are looked down on and the younger are looked up to as having a higher level of information, and their technology has brought them to a place where they just know a lot more than what the older generation does. It was always that way. Before there was a cell phone, when I was 15 years old, I thought I knew a lot more than some people that were a good bit older than me. That was always that way, but we're living in a generation and in an age where that's the general thought, that the younger have an advantage over the older. And that's not a scriptural viewpoint. The Bible teaches that we need to look up to the elders. We need to look up to those that are older and respect them and admire their wisdom and go to them for wisdom and advice. There's a wealth of information and there's a wealth of advice that's available. Whether it's financial, whether it's business, whether it's health, and the list goes on and on. And I believe this evening that there are safe sources, there are good sources, there are sound sources of information out there that we can find advice for our natural lives, for our physical lives, for our work world. But I believe that the sources that we go to needs to be that which our church brethren are comfortable with. And we need to be ready to open ourselves up to those things. When we're hiding behind and going to information sources, whether we're going to a seminar, whether we're traveling someplace, or whether it's an online seminar we're taking, We need to be open about those things. When we hide those things from our church brethren, we become very vulnerable to false teaching in our life and false advice. And so our greatest influence should come from our church and from a faithful family. Skepticism and dissatisfaction with your church makes you very vulnerable to the influence of the world. Your church and the brotherhood of believers that you're accountable to must hold a place of high regard in your life and in your mind. Those are the people that you love dearly. And those are the folks that we look to for advice when we need to reach out. And so when we view our church with low regard, we become extremely vulnerable to heeding the voice of a strange shepherd. Fourthly, find contentment today in your life. Find contentment today. Now, we had a lesson this evening already on greed. And it would be good for us just to think about that a little bit and think about contentment versus greed, gratefulness versus dissatisfaction. Dissatisfaction and discontentment drives us to places that aren't safe. And when we're satisfied, when we're content with life, when we're content with our lot in life, it's so much easier to find our source of information in the pasture of the Good Shepherd. But when we're discontent, it drives us to look for other things, to find fulfillment in life. Discontent drives us to fill our hearts void with something. Contentment, I believe, allows us to sort through the available information and the available voices that are out there. Contentment allows us to think through things logically and from a spiritual vantage point, finding contentment in life. Number five, we must say no to the things that influence toward the kingdom of this world. And I'd like to say this evening that there's a number of, depending on where you are and what age bracket you're in, or whether you're a teenager at home, whether you are a parent, we all are living under some guidelines and some laws. And so your dad might have some laws that guide you in restricting voices into your life and helping you to sort through some of those things. And maybe this evening you're pretty sure that he's way stricter than he should be. And there's apps that your dad doesn't allow that other dads allow. And the list goes on and on. And I do care about that. Because we must draw lines. If you're a church member tonight, there's guidelines and laws that you have in your life that we've agreed on. And then above all that, we have the law of God. And tonight we must learn to say no to the things that we know we can't handle. And we must open ourselves up to those influences, whether it's our parents, whether it's our church. And even beyond that, our brothers and sisters in our congregations, those that we fellowship with, as we discuss these things, it helps us to draw lines at a safe place. But it's easy to go home from church. It's easy to go away from tonight and look at an app that we have on our phone that we know is taking an enormous amount of our time and say, I just like it. And so we have this pull between our flesh. We have this pull between somehow we've got to have that information. This pull between we want to see what's there in the news. This pull that we want to see what that speaker has to say. I have really looked at the news a lot the last half year especially, and this week. I mean, there are some things that have been happening, and boy, we got to know every couple hours what's going on. And I was thinking about that the other day. So there was the riots in Washington. And it doesn't really matter how I even feel about all that. The other day I asked myself the question, so at the end of the day, what difference did it make to me? And what difference is it going to make in my sermon on next Sunday morning? In other words, that's all part of the kingdom of the world. And the only thing it does is it causes me to worry a little more about tomorrow. But it doesn't help me to, there's nothing there that I'm going to really be able to feed a congregation with. That needs to come from the Word of God. There's maybe some of that information that helps us, prepares us for tomorrow, helps us to think more seriously about the two kingdoms. But there's so little there that really benefited my life. And I'll just tell you where I'm at. I need to draw some lines when it comes to news. Because I check it pretty often. We must say no to the things that influence us toward the kingdom of this world and get us too involved in that kingdom. I was having a Bible study with a young man, two of us are, and this just this morning, we're using Steve Gallagher's book on the walk of repentance. And I wanted to bring that along or look it up exactly, but just in this morning's lesson, he had an introduction to the lesson. He talked about the people that watch television. He was talking about end times and talking about future judgment. And he talked about people that watch television on a regular basis, and they are, it just brings them into the realm of the world and what's happening in this world and the kingdom of this world, and the fact that they're not going to be, it's going to hinder them from being prepared for the coming of the Lord and the world to come. And one of the brothers that was there said, you know, he said, we have our phones, we have news, and we're really living pretty close to that same realm. And I was convicted again. Because what I read on the news several times during the day, is all that kingdom. And I become very much involved with that kingdom in my mind and the processes and the meditations of my mind and how I think about things and how I view the problems in Washington and all of that. We need to stay close to the Word of God. Let's say no to the things that influence us toward the kingdom of this world. Music, sports, too much exposure to the world's undress, low morals, language, etc. will only dull our senses and lower our standard of godliness. And that's one of the problems with many of the mediums by which we receive information, is that there's a standard there that is less than God's standard. And it exposes us to undress and low morals, poor language that will dull our senses. Number six. Let's give ample time for personal meditation and reflection. We don't have to have something pouring into our minds all the time. But meditate. Think about the goodness of God. Gratefulness for the things we have in life comes when we spend time thinking about God, meditating on Him, thinking about His goodness, rather than always having to have something coming into our lives, even good things. For instance, listening to good music all day long gives you a lot of inspiration, but it It hinders you from personal meditation and reflection. And last of all, number seven, as we view the content of the voices around us, no matter how they're coming to us, we must evaluate the content. We need to give thought to the source and also the quantity. And I believe if we keep those principles in mind, it will guide us and direct us. In John chapter 18 and verse 37, Pilate was talking to Jesus. And he said, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end I was born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." In closing, I'd like to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 to 23.